Do you think I need to go and paint that yellow BR, bruv?
Now let's have a look at the much juiced DJ Jazzy J, special mix master of the Zulu Nation and son of DJ Africa Bambaataa. Yo, rock.
Party people inside the place to be. It's your boy Amber.
Hey, what's up?
All right. Ahlo sahla, Arabi? It's Arabi? No. Greece, Malacca, eh, Malacca.
All right, yeah, so we got some tourists in now. Yeah. Here you go. This almshouse to your mum's house. Take it.
Thank you.
Take it. Sticker. All right. Hey! Big up Grease in the house.
Grease.
Yo, it's your boy Themes, your boy Amber. Arms house to your mom's house. Back once again in the new year, 2026.
Minus two.
Yo, it ain't no joke.
We outside.
Although I was complaining about the cold on Instagram and some Russian guy was like, yo, try minus 25.
Yeah.
Because that separates the men from the boys, yo. Salute though, all the people out there in this cold. I can't fucking do it, you know what I mean? But yo, we're back here outside Baker Street Station. Me and Theme are experts on this station. We did the tour thing of the station a couple of episodes ago. Anyway, we got a legendary guest, Mr. Coma. Come in here, brother. This guy was doing it. He quit Graf before...
88!
He quit Graf before I even thought about doing Graf, yeah? And he's the first generation train writers in London. He's the first guy to actually serve a jail sentence for painting trains, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Legendary businessman, Coma.
English writer to paint, to do bird.
Me and Tilt. Yeah, Tilt. Together, yeah.
It was in the newspaper.
Yep.
Yeah, big...
Yo, we'll get into all this, man. And of course, him being the big Met legend that he is, yeah?
Well, he was, maybe.
Well, yeah, okay, he's humble now, man, but yo... Legendary status, Coma in the place. We're going to get on the big Met. Maybe we're going to head over towards Rickman's Worth. We're going to head over, see some of the sights. Love, brother, man. Big
chat
up, yeah?
Chat about yards, chat about missions.
Yeah, boy. He did it all before you were born, motherfucker. So pay your respects. Peace. Yella, we'll see you on the flip. Booyah, party people, we're up, man. It's bright though, it's cold, but bright.
Metropolitan nice. Sun in my face.
We're here in the Metropolitan line, man, with Coma. It's on a fisheye lens, so it should capture all of us right now.
We were
just chatting now before we stuck the camera on, man, about the big Mets and what made them special back in the day. And yeah. I was thinking maybe, because we never, me and Theme really never really got this line, and like obviously we weren't around back then in the 80s, mid 80s to late 80s. What made this line so special to you guys, man?
Well, I used to live here in Wembley.
Uh-huh.
So it kind of was the local train line to me. But because of the trains, what they looked like, they were kind of the closest thing to New York.
The boxy, big train.
Yeah,
the
size.
Yeah.
Silver.
They were big, flat, kind of.
Yeah,
of course.
So a lot of the other writers wanted to come onto the big Met and paint them just because of the...
Yeah.
You had quite big panels. There were quite a few yards on here. Most of it's out, so it's outdoors, it's not underground.
Yeah.
I guess you said as you can get good photos
Boom. And the yards then, was it literally just walk in? Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, well, we're coming up to Wembley Park. Back then, I mean, there were no cameras. So
what are we talking? What year were you? Oh shit. Whoopsie. But yeah, so what year are we talking about, man? Kinda.
Well, when you started? I started, I guess, I think my first yard experience was 1985.
Uh-huh.
Again, it was Wembley, so we're coming up to it.
Shout out Wembley.
I'd said it. I think I've mentioned this before. Me and my friends, I used to write with a guy called Reem, R-E-M-E.
Was his name Kareem?
Nah.
No, because I call my cousin Reem. His name's Kareem, but we call him Reem. Anyway, yes.
So he knew how to get into Wembley Park Yard somehow, and we'd all gone out to a friend's, like, christening or wedding or something. So we were all dressed in suits, and he said, "Ah, I've got some paint. Why don't we? I know how to get into Wembley Park Yard." So we went to his. He changed. We stayed in our suits, and then we ended up going into Wembley Park in our suits, doing my first ever piece.
Oh shit!
It was easy. Because you could get in from the street and just climb up this kind of little mound thing, hardly any fence, and you're on the track, you're on the lines.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was a door at the back of Wembley Park Sheds that was open. You could get in, or you could go around the front and just enter.
And your first piece you painted was on a train in...
No, the first piece was probably in a park in Alperton where I grew up on a bridge at around 84, 85. But the first train piece was that time in Wembley Park.
It was,
I mean, I know it was just really crap purple car plan or something like that. Really bad.
No photos or anything.
No, of course. And a couple of mates who weren't writers, they came for the fun. They came with us for fun.
Just to check it.
It was just so easy. No one had... I don't think anyone had really done many trains before around that time.
What names did you see flying around back then, like when you were kind of starting out? And I'm assuming as well, same as most people, it was the Style Wars and stuff like that.
Style Wars, Wild Style.
Yeah. Spray Can Art.
Subway Art. Yeah. We'd watch Style Wars religiously before we went to out to paint.
Before we went out.
Yeah. And Subway Art was, everyone tried to copy it. Cool. That's the beginnings.
The blueprint, the foundation.
But me and my brother went on a family holiday to New York in 85. We saw some of the writers that were in Subway Art. We saw their, like, scene throw-ups.
Really?
Scene throw-ups along the motorway, highway. Yeah. Scene and Duster. Yeah. Quick throw-ups in Manhattan.
Crazy.
Dondi. No, not Dondi. Maybe Zephyr Tags. I've seen a Zephyr Tag. Seeing it on the trains, I guess half of the trains had Graphon. In 85.
So it's getting on that tail end of the buffage.
I remember seeing a Doze piece, Doze from Rocksteady. And seeing that, we had to just try and recreate it here.
You just start like body popping on the spot. Just like... Damn, son.
So I guess 85, I used to go to college in Watford. So it was at the end of this line. Uh-huh. So I'd be riding this line every morning. And just bunk off college. And I started tagging the outsides. With Rich. I used to write Rich. So that's how I started tagging the outsides and then insides and then riding the lines, meeting other writers.
Yeah.
And tagging. And then it all went from there. But so this.
I can imagine.
This is Wembley Pop. It was. So it was a shed.
It doesn't exist anymore.
It was a shed. But it's gone now. So that, they've knocked it down. But the first names I saw, I have to give this guy Yes-I props.
Yes-I.
He wasn't part of the writers' kind of community, but he was like a lone wolf and would walk up and down the train lines on his own just writing Yes-I. With no style, just straight Yes-I.
Y-E-S and then the letter E-Y. I.
E-Y.
EYE.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, I.
And then he might, and it could have been yes with an E as well. Yes. He.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was one of the first
writers
on this line that I remember.
Because I was going to say to you, like, being like so early on.
Yeah.
Like, now you said that you did that trip to America, to New York, and you kind of could see it. Because, like, to get the balls and the gall and the audacity as a little kid to go up to a big ass train and just write your name, literally write your name, Rich, on it. like it's easier now because we have so many examples of it happening. So it's not such of a much of a leap, you know? But, like, back then, I don't know. But I guess the trip to America and then.
That and hip hop. Was big here.
It was big. The first wave.
And it breaking kind of was the first bit. Then the graffiti people who used to break started doing graffiti, and I guess some of the jams. There was like a jam at the Shaw Theatre with Bambaataa, Jazzy Joyce. I think Brim, Chrome Angels when they were Trailblazers. Going to things like that, then seeing other British. Writers, like Trailblazers, in Covent Garden, then probably trying to do what they do, and then eventually meeting other writers, writers.
Okay, but, so you build up, and mentioning some old school hip hop shit. We came into the track Bronx Dogs, a tribute to Jazzy J.
Yeah,
Bronx Dogs is your crew, right?
Well, that was the first. Production, me and Regal, who sadly passed away, so it was me and him,
rest in peace
Regal, were Bronx Dogs.
Okay,
so it was kind of breakbeat,
breakbeat
and electro and disco breaks, inspired by the breaks that
the Zulu Nation breaks and
Jazzy
stuff.
J and those guys.
Jazzy J, Strong Island, wasn't that his thing?
Jazzy J,
I swear that was his production record label, Strong Island, with the logo of the muscly guy like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
So he, listening to is it the Death Mix? There's one recording called the Death Mix, which is on a record, and it's Jazzy J cutting up the famous breaks.
Yeah.
And there's an MC that goes, it's Jazzy, J. So we sampled.
Jazzy J.
Ronnie Size
sampled that later. Yeah.
That comes from the Death Mix. Going back to the first, some other first initial writers, Hayes, who later became Cast. Hayes and Sane used to write together. So Danny and Shan. They used to write together, and in 85, I used to see their tags and throw-ups all along here, along the Met Line,
because
they were from Pinner.
Ah, okay.
So they're on this line as well.
I mean, Cast is...
Who? Cast and...
And Sane. So Cast used to write Hayes.
Yeah.
And he was in London Giants as well.
Yeah.
First.
Cold Crush Dukes later on.
Yeah, later on. Yeah. So it was Hayes and Sane together. They were a deadly duo. And the style, I remember their style, hand style and throw up style was the best I'd seen anywhere.
Even from then, when he was doing Haze and stuff. Because he's still, to this day, highly lauded Cast. Do you think he's overrated or underrated? I mean, since you were there around, by the
sound. I think he deserves everything he got.
I mean, some of his pieces that he did, have you paid with him?
Loads.
Sick.
I'm picturing because you kind of had quite a short.
We used to hang out, go racking, loads of us.
Proper writer's life.
He's a cool guy. I mean, people used to take the piss out of him.
Oh, is it?
Foam got friendly with him. Tilt was like one of his best mates. So Tilt and Danny knew each other, and then I got to know him probably, maybe through Tilt.
Yeah,
but.
You see, he calls him by their first name, bruv, because he knows him.
Because
he's best mates. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a running joke.
But he I don't know, mate, I think that he deserves all the props that people give him, because I can't think of any other writer as prolific, as prolific and with style.
Like, yo.
Who has done as much as he did.
but trains every, as well.
But he might have not been the best at style, like wild styles and stuff, but it was still really, really good.
Oh, man. And really, he was really taking that New York blueprint, like, yeah. And he really, like, you could tell he studied it hard, man.
Yeah,
even Scheme, when we had him on, we showed him a cast piece, yeah. And he was like, this would not stand out in New York.
Yeah.
Like,
what kind of pops out to you? What do you think about this piece you're looking at here, man? Can you see it okay?
Yeah, well, the first thing I would say that is definitely in line with a New York, for lack of a better term, a New York style.
100%.
This is something that if it would have ran back on the day, in the days, you would not have been able to tell that this cat was from another country. I'll put it to you like that. It would have fit in with what we were doing for the most part.
So the Big Met used to be very different from the Little Met.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when trains. Fume and everyone went on the Little Mets, the NG.
Ah.
That's the difference, isn't it?
They called it Big Met because the trains were a bit bigger.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
the
yeah.
Little Mets, but they were still Metropolitan Line.
Yeah.
But before it was called Hammersmith and City.
Yeah.
It was just called Metropolitan Line, but different.
And the Met, like we learned on the Baker Street thing, is the first ever train line on the
World.
In the world, yeah. Even. Yeah,
yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
So you painted the first ever trains in the world.
The first ever underground train line.
How do you come up with Coma? In the end, you said you were Ryan Rich first. Then when did Coma?
Well, Coma. I think it's just the letters. I like the letters, and came up with that in around 1986.
Uh huh.
And then started getting a bit more full on with it. Then, but I'm trying to think of any other writers. There was a writers' bench at Harrow on the Hill.
Yeah.
McDonald's. So every day, you could just go there. And someone would be there to hang out. We'd no mobile phones then.
Yeah.
Like nothing. No one. You just turn up. Turn up in the evening, hang out. Maybe no one's there, but someone might come, or other loads of people would be there. So that would be the spot.
Do you remember how long you used to give that? Like, if nobody was there, would you wait for like an hour or half an hour?
Half hour, I reckon.
And then see if someone rocks up.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then you can just crack on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the meeting place, and it was. It was more like just partying, drinking. Yeah, there was an off license close.
Yeah.
There was this drink called Night Train. So
The Night Train.
There's Getting Up, the book by Craig Castleman. He mentions it in that about how Lee and the Fabulous Five have got this drink, Night Train. So Tilt was like, Night Train, we've got to get Night Train over here. And he found, and it had a train on it. Oh, yeah, the train on the label.
Sick.
So we called it Bombing Juice.
Bombing Juice.
But it's difficult to get. And it was the other alternative was Thunderbird.
Oh, yeah.
So we'd be drinking that, Thunderbird, and little cans of Gold Label, which was the strongest beer, Tennant Super.
Super
just
tease.
Like just getting really
super
mashed.
Tenants.
Yeah.
Were you smoking weed as well back then and stuff?
A little bit.
How
little
old
bit
were you?
Hash. 18?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that 18. One of yours?
Yeah, that was the last piece I ever did.
Oh, that was the last one in
Gloucester with Hate.
88. Damn.
But so it would almost be like hanging out, having a party. Okay, we'll get on the trains. Ride the trains, tag up, get off, or do track sides. And I even remember we were so drunk once, me and Till, we just passed out there on the edge, on the side, on the bank.
We just slept,
like, there on the bank in the middle of the night for, I don't know, and then got back up.
Wow.
Because you had to do that sometimes if you missed the last train.
We were just too drunk.
I was just too drunk.
Just smashed.
Yeah.
Just like, let me lie down for a second. just for 5 minutes, just for fun. You know, I miss it. I chatted to Mean PFB yesterday.
Yeah.
Legend in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
But he sung your praises highly. He said he always thought of you as the Big Met King.
No. I'd say Cast was at that time.
Cast at the time, okay.
Tilt and I were bombers, but Myth, the guy that doesn't get the props, Myth 2.
Myth 2.
Myth 2. So he used to write, He was a rival with Cass. They were both from the same area. Oh. They were rivals. And then he went on to write Set 3.
So oh, Set 3 had the throw up.
Yeah.
Everyone was raving about his
so throw. Him and Cast were probably the most up on the Big Met. Set 3 maybe even more.
Yeah.
Set 3 was the king of bombing.
Yeah, that's what we heard.
Who wrote Myth? And the first time me and Tilt got caught in Stanmore, the BTP came out and went, "Is that Myth 2? Is that Myth 2 we've got?"
Oh shit, they were shouting and calling by his name.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So he was like one of the heavyweights.
So how much, like, because people always talk about how much easier it was back then. Oh, it was easy to get into the yards and all that stuff. But you, I mean, seems like you ran into the law quite a few times, man. Was that just because drunken behavior?
I think at the beginning, it was easy.
Okay.
But then once loads of people start to do it, the police cottoned on, then there was a graffiti squad.
Yeah, yeah.
So there would be graffiti, plainclothes riding the Big Met.
Mm.
But I think we knew who they kind of, the faces and stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
Dr.
yeah.
Dr. Martin shoes.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So me and Tilt were probably quite prolific in the bombing. My style wasn't...
Bombing what, got on the good insides?
And outsides and track sides. Okay. And just throw up some blockbusters.
Dubs, does it? Blockbusters
and dubs.
Yeah. So not Silvers. Just bombing. Like.
Yeah, kind of. But because when I started, I wasn't that good at style. But by the end of it, I got good, like that last piece. But when I got good, I gave up.
Yeah.
It was weird. It was like that was the journey. Was it the destination?
So
I finally got good, and then now I fuck it.
Yeah. It's a joke that is weird that you spend your life trying to get good at something.
Yeah.
And then it's all you do. It's all you fucking think about. It's, well, I've got to get good at this. I've got to get good
at this. That process is the buzz.
Is the buzz.
Of trying to get good. And then when you've got there, it's like, what next?
Yeah.
And when you say getting good, did you know you were getting good and better because of your peers telling you? Or could you kind of actually work it out yourself and know?
Yeah, I'd kind of worked out myself.
Okay.
It took I'd say my first year, 86, was a bit toyish. But then from about 87, the style started getting a little bit better. It just took practice.
And just from the sheer amount of just doing it, man, you inevitably will get better. You know?
Yeah.
How much were you doing, do you think, to get that learning curve?
I mean...
Yards every other weekend or what?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yards probably every other weekend. But every night...
Fucking decent.
Every night doing something, either insides or crack sides.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this infamous piece? I mean, when I think of Coma, this is the one that comes up.
That's the Wembley Park one.
Okay.
So that wasn't the first piece I did.
No, yeah.
But so myself and Right One were supposed to go together to Wembley Park. And you had to wait it out in Chalk Hill Estate, which was facing the train yards. So it was this big housing estate where there were tunnels and you could just wait in there because it was a bit warmer.
Yeah.
Before going in. So I was with Right One until about 1 in the morning and then he just bottled it and went, "Oh, I can't be bothered to do it." And he went home.
So
I ended up just going in there on my own. And
that's
when I
did
that. Yeah.
Right. I did that on my own. Double border, three color fade, like fontish letters.
It was Bottleneck is the typeface.
Oh, Bottleneck. Okay, yeah.
So I just copied it from a graphic design book.
Yeah, yeah.
Just thought, a bit influenced by Scene.
Scene, definitely. I see a bit of that in there. I think I got the sketch here as well. Hold on. Someone's uploaded a picture of the sketch.
I've got one. It? Yeah.
There you go. And that character, I recognise that character from somewhere.
It's Cheech Wizard, I think. It's from Cheech Wizard.
Right. Yeah.
So I never managed to do a character. I don't think I ever painted a character.
Wow.
So I'd say that was one of my best pieces because it was just different to what others were doing. And I remember Cass rating it and thinking, it must be good then. He goes, yeah, I really like it. And it inspired him to do something similar.
Okay,
he goes, I really like that part.
How long did it run for? Do you remember?
A day at the most.
Really? Oh, still right. Back then, just a day.
So I did it, I don't know, what, 2 in the 3 in the morning. Then I had to get up for the rush hour at 7, 8 and go to Wembley Park to get the photos. So it was pulling out the yard.
Yeah.
So I got good photos of it.
I love that.
I had quite a good camera back then. So some of the pictures I've sent you of are us riding the Big Met.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll flash them up on the screen here.
Tilt's in one of them, right one. Me, Ream and Tilt in one. Just bombing and
the trains look a hell of a lot different nowadays, man, I'll tell you that. This is
Northwood. Yeah.
One of them's the bus, no?
Oh yeah, there is one on the bus, yeah.
Right. That's Sabo. Sabo, Ace, Create, and Goshen. I can't remember what he wrote, but both of them have passed away now.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah.
The two boys in the middle.
So that's right one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Tilt. That's Dizzy. That's Huzz. Oh, no, Jano. That's Jano.
Jano.
Yeah. Huzz, a nice one.
Jano passed away quite recently.
No, Jano hasn't passed away.
No, it's a different thing.
Jano.
That's nice one. All right. That's Reem. That's okay. Leona, who was Rio's girlfriend who used to write Sex One.
Oh, nice.
That's Rio too.
Yeah.
That's Cast doing a face.
Oh, is that it? Is it?
Yeah. No, where is he?
No, that's not him.
There.
Ah, okay.
That's Cast with going like that.
I was
going
to say, I thought he was a white boy.
Yeah, that's Cast. That's Clive, who used to be in Vinyl Junkies. Nice one, Dizzy, Stephen, but I can't remember what he wrote.
You know what, also, Minos wanted to ask, he said, ask him about Vinyl Junkies, Nice One.
Yeah, that Junkies, was Nice One.
Yeah, and the famous Yard Mission with Nice One, Rio, and Tilt. I think Sunday daytime, Coma did that window down.
Yeah.
At Rickman's Worth, question mark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coma, Divine Lords.
I don't know if I sent you the pics. Well, I think we did the whole train.
Yeah?
One Sunday. So I'll go to the first ever Rickman's Worth mission that we did.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I think we'll be coming up to it. We thought that the train's parked up at Watford. So we got the last train to Watford and then hung around.
Oh, you were literally trying to work it out. Yeah. Like, okay, of course.
I mean,
yeah.
I think Chrome Angels did the alleyway one first.
Okay.
Because we'd see stains of the Chrome Angels piece in 85.
Wow. And
I think that was one of the first pieces on a train
that
I ever saw. It was amazing.
Wow.
And I heard that they did it at Rickmansworth in the daytime in the alleyway bit, the little layer.
And it was what, the Chrome Angels?
I think it said just Angels or something.
Angels.
Yeah,
okay.
But in bunlecks and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all pinks and yellow, like amazing colours. And the stain was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking
hell. So I think they were the first to do the Big Met, or one of the first pieces on the underground. But we didn't know. So we went to Watford, waited around. There were no trains.
Sorry, hold on.
Okay. What was the age difference between you and the Chrome Angels?
I think Pride's a little bit older.
But just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the others might be the same. I think Mo might be the same age. And like Zaki and those guys.
Yeah.
Scribbler.
So, back to the Ricky's work.
So, we went to Watford. There were no trains. So, we got back into the station and walked down the lines all the way down to around here where the tracks kind of go like that. And then one way goes to Rickmansworth, one way comes from Watford.
Mm.
So we had to come back on ourselves and then go up the lines to Rickmansworth because we knew there was a yard there as well.
This is on foot?
Yeah, on foot, in the middle of the night. and there's a shed. I think we might even, I don't know if it's still there, we might pass it in a minute.
Okay, yeah.
So there was a workman's shed just outside the yard where we waited for a bit. And I think Tilt might have even had music.
And he had a little boombox.
And I think he might have even done a bit of speed or something. It was almost like a party in the yard, in the shed while we were waiting. And then we all went in. There was, I don't know if Cast was there, but I think so. Tilt, me, Cast, Nice One, this Japanese writer or Chinese writer called Mac One, another writer called Jest, and others, but I can't remember the names. And we all...
It's not that, is it?
That was the all-dayer that I'll come on to.
Okay, that's another one.
So that was the first time all of us did Rigmansworth.
Platform side?
No, just the depot.
Okay, yeah.
There were about four trains all lined up outside. I think we might even pass it. So no one had any photos back then. No one took any photos. So I can remember doing the pieces, but I can't remember what they looked like.
Can't remember at all.
No. But so after we finished at about 5 a.m., we walked down the lines to Moor Park, where we've just been. Mm-hmm. We just passed. So there's a waiting room, indoor waiting room, where we got into the indoor waiting room and slept and waited. And then the guard came, the London Transport guy came, and he was like, "How did you guys get in?"
Yeah, yeah.
And we blagged it, said we were at a party, and it was somehow. And then he came out and made us all a cup of tea.
Oh, easy.
After we bombed the yards. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, "Do you want a cup of tea, lads?"
Sick.
We had paint all over us. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Damn. Those days.
Just people were mad oblivious. And the thing oblivious is as well, a thing like I try and ram home, especially to the youngins now, because now it's like graffiti and street art is the darling of the art world, and there's like so many people who like they kind of get more of it. Back then, you guys were demonized, man. Like everyone hated graffiti back then.
Yeah,
right? It was not a cool thing.
And it was Thatcher and Thatcher. That kind of era where people were, especially in this Harrow, more conservative and uptight.
Yeah,
and so they hated it.
Yeah,
I don't. It wasn't on the. It wasn't really in the new media like it is now.
No,
no. What it was quite new.
Yeah, exactly. Super underground.
It was pretty fucking new in England, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
we were just copying what we'd seen in New York. We were copying the American New York guys.
Yeah.
And you just didn't. Was it obviously taking photos back then were harder than now.
So this is the art that's... This is Rickman's work that we did.
There we go.
So it's still there, exactly how it is.
Oh, bugger shite.
Yeah, I remember once hearing we were on the platform and there was some graph went past and someone went, "Wow, the Americans."
Oh, right. Yeah. Damn, yeah.
Yeah. So, nuts. Back then it was... Everyone hated us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was just seen as... stupid kid stuff,
a phase.
Like vandals.
Yeah. And like I'm sure you've noticed nowadays the increase in the last few years of the inside, especially on the Central and the Bakerloos. Does it seem reminiscent to that time in the late 80s when there was that influx near the late 80s? Does it not even compare? How battered were the insides back then?
I think they were much worse.
Worse?
Photos that I've seen the worst.
I guess it was just a couple of the Big Met and Little Met were battered.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then the Bakerloo. I mean, the stations were battered.
Yeah.
I remember getting the Bakerloo line. The South London guys, like down wherever, Elephant Castle, they battered the stations. And the hand styles were amazing.
Yeah.
Mm. The Crash 151, Prime, Crime, Dev 666, those guys, South London guys.
Crash had the ill down rock tags that you would do with the crazy
the other day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
You still about?
Yeah.
Nice.
I said, "Oh, Crash." And he said, "No." And then he said his real name. He went, no, it's Matt.
And you're to you, you're like, "Nah, fuck your real name, mate. It's Crash."
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Tell us about this all-dayer mission.
But that this all-dayer thing. Yeah. Again, we did it a few times. So we found out...
What, here?
That you could do Rigmansworth on Sundays in the day. There's no one there all day. So we called it the all-dayers.
Yeah.
So on a Sunday...
Yeah.
There were a few of us, but people remember. It was Rio.
Yeah.
Who wrote Judge and Ink 27... Nice one.
What's that top to bottom one there?
Is it red?
Yeah. Oh,
that's Rio's.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Rio. Nice one. Damn. Tilt. Cast.
Kings of the Met.
So we ended up just doing the whole train, spending the whole day in Rigmansworth Yard. And one of the all-dayers. We did it a few times, but it was so easy.
What was your paint of choice then, back then?
I mean, Buntlack was the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to live in North Wembley and discovered, or Reem discovered, that in this kind of industrial estate, 2 minutes from my house, there was an art kind of shop.
Okay.
Where it sold Buntlacks. And it was probably they were selling it to the shops, but the public could go in.
Oh, sick.
So I'd go in with a portfolio and there'd be just boxes and boxes of Buntlacks everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just fill up the portfolio. Oh, shit. Guy. But eventually it got hot and we couldn't. But it was on my doorstep, a Buntlack, almost Buntlack warehouse. Buntlack
factory.
yeah.
Sick. You didn't have to go to Amsterdam and go and get Buntlacks and all of that.
No.
Sick.
It was a bit before that, I think, maybe. Did you have any contact with writers outside of England or London?
Just
or
Roman Rhyme, who were from Amsterdam.
Ah, okay.
Roman Rhyme. They're the only ones I met.
Because they came here or because you went over there?
Yeah, they came here.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think Hate and Foam went to Amsterdam to hang out with them.
Ah, okay.
But I didn't know any other writers apart from that. Hobby Lack, which was from... It was like a model paint or something.
Hobby Lack.
There was that, what's that kind of, like a B&Q type store. Homestyle it was called.
Yeah.
Homestyle paint. And then
they
model
were all
paints.
They right, though, apparently, Homestyles.
Like, they were good colours, had different colours. Pastel colours and stuff like that.
And then there was the car plan and the fucking shitty.
Car plan
shitty
was the worst,
paint.
Wasn't it? Because it was so drippy and thin.
Just shitty,
Some of the model paints, Umbral, was it Umbral?
I don't know.
Umbral paints, quite good.
What about this one here?
So that was, this was the first New Cross mission, or the second New Cross mission.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's nice.
So there's a one with a K, a lilac piece with a K. That was the first time we went to New Cross.
Yeah.
So it was me, Casby, Foam, I can't remember who else, ended up doing New Cross first.
Okay.
We had to, again, I don't think we knew much about it, so we hung around in the housing estate before and then went in, and it was fine. We all painted well.
Yeah.
But it was the second time that became really famous. People still talk about it. People know more than me about it because I can't remember who was there. But I've got photos.
What, just the second, that one with this piece here?
Yeah. I've got photos, but they're not allowed to be public. I can show you them.
Okay,
of the mission.
Because
Gus, who was a photographer, he came with Goldie. So we took Goldie to New Cross.
Oh, sick.
So this was 87.
Yeah.
So it was me, Casby, Cast, Foam, Rich and Rage,
Salute.
And Ice 3, I think.
Yeah,
who was one of the first?
Wow, so a proper crew of people.
Yeah.
And Goldie
and his photographer Gus.
And so, Goldie, was he quite highly revered back then as well? He was in the book, innit? He was in the fucking.
He was from Wolverhampton, I think, but one of the first. Yeah. So though I've sent you the pieces, they're in the Beyond the Streets book. I think they're Goldie's piece and Rich and Rage. And then I can show other photos of actually us. So
those are all the ones from
this is Rich doing his piece.
Sick.
That's Casby doing his piece.
Nice.
That's Foam.
Foam was a bit younger than you lot, right?
Yeah. And Rich and Rage were even a bit younger.
And Rich and Rage. Okay.
So and that's Goldie's. That's Goldie. Sick. Goldie's piece.
You was there, man.
So
crazy.
Rich is now, well, Rich is like a dubstep pioneer.
Yes.
Johnny Cash,
DJ, aka Code.
Oh, okay.
He's a big DJ as well. He was bigging him up. But Rich, the music thing.
So we all did that second New Cross mission with Goldie, which has become like legendary now.
Yes.
And it's mad. The photo, you've got some of the photos there, but I can show you.
And you guys linked
like, because like you said, Richie with the music, Goldie with the music, you with the music, Richard Sen, check out some of the Ill mixtapes. I'll put them a link below to some of your
or
mixes.
Or Bandcamp or whatever.
Or the Bandcamp as well.
Yeah.
Was it a music thing even back then?
No.
No, so it's just pure.
So that was after Graf.
Yeah.
I think.
That's mad.
I think all of us did started music after that.
Exactly.
Casby
yeah.
as well. Casby's
oh,
a DJ.
DJ
so I got into it when he was getting into it, and he was into the breaks.
Yeah.
But then Acid House came along.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And we both started going to the same raves.
Yeah.
And then getting into that music.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. I've seen you DJ a couple of times at the Size Doesn't Matter thing.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure once. I've been there when you was there. And someone was telling me, because I was like, Richard saying, ah, oh, wicked, yeah. And then they were like, nah, that's Coma, man. Yeah. And I'm like, don't lie. Because we had Casby played as well, and a few other hits, man, we've had passed through there. I really want to get Casby on the pod. Hopefully we can make that happen, man. We'll see how it goes, man. I don't know.
I'll ask him, but I don't know.
I've reached out to him already. He said he's interested. Again, I don't want to get into it now. But
okay.
It's possible. There's a possibility. So we'll see if we can make that happen.
Shit, we should have done it together, because I reckon he would have...
That would have been ill.
Or do it with someone.
Well, we'll see. Maybe we still will.
Yeah.
Let's see how we get on, man.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's an exhibition at the Tabernacle. So the Tabernacle was the youth centre in Grove. So it was in the Tabernacle Church. Like Scam and Hate and the Grove Writers, they used to go there a lot. And this woman, Jenny, who ran it, she just bought all the writers to do exhibition canvas.
It's nice. It's
I think it was called From Metal to Canvas.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've got the flyer somewhere.
I swear, the loss of youth centres and youth places.
Yeah.
There were so many back then. Even when I was a little kid, I remember them, but they were starting to die out a bit. But that's kind of like, they would encourage people to do art and music and give them a space to do these things, man. You know, I think we're lacking
I think it was the GLC back then, the Greater London Council.
Yeah.
Ken Livingston. There was money that went into... I remember them like sponsoring or putting on hip hop jams with Westwood and people like that. There was a GLC jam.
Goldie Looking Chain. No, I'm sorry, I'm just kidding.
Greater London Council or something. But they had. There was a famous jam in Battersea Park.
Okay.
Westwood. I remember going to it in my early days, 84, 85, and seeing all these London kids. Like all dressed in like ski goggles and shit like that, right? Hip hop.
Yeah.
And that was my first kind of noticing other people like dressing like the New York guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was a hip hop jam that Westwood put on.
Yeah.
At Battersea Park.
And that's another thing as well, before everything got so homogenized, you could look around at just how people were dressed and tell what they were into. You could see if they were a heavy metal head or if they were a hip hop head.
Youth cultures.
Or yeah, exactly, yeah.
Because when we went to New York, me and my brother, you could get trainers there that you couldn't get here.
Of course,
so
yeah.
So I ended up getting, you know, the suede Pumas, ones. They were called Puma joints back then.
Mm.
I got pink. Joints,
oh,
pink
shit.
Suede with white fat laces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when I came back here, everyone was just like, "What the fuck?"
Did you not get robbed for your trainers back then and shit? No.
Well, I didn't, but I knew people. Well, that came. Maybe we'll get onto the crime stuff that came a bit later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It got a bit darker.
Uh huh.
And there were gangs and some writers even robbing people.
Yeah.
But in the early days, it was a bit more innocent. Mm-hmm. I think, and we were quite young, but I remember getting the name belt, the buckle belt.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With Poma. Well, I got Richard, so it was just like really like long, because I wasn't Ryan Coma then or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It just looked a bit stupid.
Where'd you get it from, the belt thing?
You get it in New York.
Oh,
so
you got it
Canal
in New York.
Street. They made them.
Wow.
So coming back with the Pumas, the belt, and they had two-tone jeans, so it'd be one color on the front, another color on the back.
Two-tone, yeah.
With the joints and the name belt.
Killer, man.
And the Richard all the way around.
It's just so whack.
It's like, hi guys, my name's Richard.
So I was started on the Big Mat, but then I had family in Bayswater. We had family, me and my brother. My brother writes as well. But I'm not sure if I'm a...
Big up his brother, man. Yeah, maybe we won't blow up the spot right now, but he's a Don, man, believe me. Yes.
So we'd be at Bayswater most weekends, so I'd kind of wander down to Grove and under the Westway.
Okay, yeah.
So legendary spot. Where are the Grove rioters would all be painting.
Lalo.
And I remember seeing Rio once. He used to write Judge back then, doing one of the pillars. And me watching him and he giving me attitude going, what are you looking at kind of thing? Right, what are you doing here? So who are you kind of thing? So there was a lot of kind of attitude
if
they didn't know you. But either maybe through Ream, we got to know Demo, who wrote Cade after that. But Demo was one of the first all-city taggers.
Wow, okay. Yeah, Cade was, then he wrote Cade, then Crame.
So... getting to know him, Foam, Hate, Casby, Scam, Rio, I kind of got in with those guys and started painting with them as well, more in from about 1987.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did a few yards with Hate and Foam.
Hate was bad.
Yeah, Hate was bad.
He had some ill pieces.
Foam was pretty thick.
I think we're at the end of the line now, man.
Ah.
Let's jump out.
Let's read. Yeah.
Aight.
Hopefully, well, we'll carry on, I guess.
Yeah, we're here, man. Oh, shit, it's so bumpkin. It's snowing out here, bro.
Yeah.
Arms out to your mum's house. To your mum's house.
We're in Pumpkinsville, man. We're literally in Zone 9. I can't remember last time I went Zone 9
this
on the London
Underground.
This
is the furthest you can go out of London.
Oh, literally, yeah, this on the London Underground.
On
this
the
is
Met the... Line, yeah.
Oh.
This is, I don't know, Buckinghamshire or something, or...
It's past Chorley Wood, isn't it? Yeah.
Chumley Warner lives around here.
The Chiltern Hills over there.
So, yeah, as we head back into London.
Londres.
With Coma. Yo, you've gone into music, gone into so much, but man, what were you talking about just now?
I think we were saying... The Grove, I talk about how I got into meeting the Grove writers.
The Grove writers.
And getting, basically, you had to earn your respect.
Yes.
With those guys. So,
because it was more.
I managed to earn my respect somehow, I don't know, and ended up. So, the photo you've got there.
Of the wall.
Is under the Westway.
Yes.
So that was after the New Cross mission with Goldie.
The legendary one, yeah.
Yeah. Me, Casby and Foam went to the Westway, under the Westway.
Yeah.
So we just carried on. We stayed up all night and just carried on, went to Grove.
Did you run into the Moroccans down the Westway? Would they give you grief?
No.
In the 90s, the Moroccans were fucking giving mad grief. Anyway, so
there was another gang, maybe. Oh, yeah? Called Tape Tone, which gave us grief.
Tape Tone?
Yeah, they used to rob us.
Oh, shit. What's the Tape Tone? What does that mean?
I think it was related to a sound system, maybe.
Oh, okay.
But they were just called Tape Tone. But they were a gang from Grove. And they used to rob writers.
Damn.
because we were probably just idiots to them.
Yeah.
So that's... what happened? I mean,
target.
I got robbed maybe once or twice. I know Hate and Foam did. Casby, everyone used to get hassled, got troubled by them.
We all used to get robbed.
I mean, man, like just getting on the top deck of a bus sometimes, you know, if there was the wrong crowd of people on there.
I got robbed two or three times on a bus.
Yeah.
That was in Wembley.
Oh, shit.
So once a guy had a stun gun. You know these electric stun guns?
Yeah.
He held it to my leg.
No.
He's
like, run it, son.
Yeah.
And what did you have on you? Like a couple of quid for the bus or something?
Nothing back then.
Yeah.
And then another time, I'd just come out of the first prison, the detention center.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even get into that.
And a guy pulled a knife on me for my Walkman. I had a Walkman.
Oh, shit.
And the guy pulled a knife on me on the top deck of the bus, and I just held it, and I was like, no.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because I'd just come out and I was like, nah.
Because you're going to kill me over a Walkman, man.
And he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So luckily, I just ran downstairs and told the driver and I just fucked off.
Yeah.
I just said, nah, you ain't having it. I wouldn't do that now.
No, well, yo, I mean, man, but you were saying this wall that you so you did the legendary New Cross mission, went back down to Laylo,
under the Westway,
yeah,
and Zaki D was painting. So Zaki D from the Chrome Angels,
yeah,
he was doing a pillar. I'm not sure what he was doing, and he had loads of paint left. So he said, "Hey, you can have my paint."
Sick.
So when he left, me, Casby, and Foam, on the fly, did those pieces on that pillar under the Westway.
No one had their own paint. This is all his paint. No,
he
left you some decent colours.
He left us the Buntlax, I think. So we had the residue paint from the mission, from the New Cross mission. Yeah. We had paint with us. But I think like the reds and yellows and lilacs and all that was Buntlax.
And you were saying just now as well, the Kaz piece under yours, you saw him just freestyle it. Would you usually have a sketch then when you went to a yard, or you'd have something planned ready?
So no one ever did the same outline.
Yeah.
It was, I'd kind of, people would try and do different pieces all the time, or different styles or variations.
Never drop the same shit twice, son.
Yeah, unless it's a throw up or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Or blockbusters and that stuff. So we had to just make that all up out of our head.
Mm.
So the Casbys is almost wild. It's a wild style.
Crazy,
very,
man.
I remember him, I think maybe he did do a sketch there and then, or had some paper or something, was doing it there. Under the Westway, some basic thing. So he did that just on the fly. Foam did his, and I had to do mine on the ladder.
Oh, yeah.
On,
got
above
stuck
his.
On the ladder, bro.
I had to do the ladder because there was no space.
Still come out nice.
It was
man.
A difficult, but a straight letter. Okay, straight letter.
Yeah. I like the blue things around the outside as well, like the squiggly lines and shit, man.
Right. Okay. It
looks ill.
So I kind of started hanging out with Hate and Foam, Casby, Scam, C's, more in 87, and ended up going on a few missions with Hate, more with Hate. So my last train piece, the Sea Rock piece, which you got a photo of.
Yeah, I got it there. I'll flash it up.
That was done in Gloucester Road Yard.
Gloucester Road.
In 1988, May 1988.
And who are you with, sorry?
Hate.
Hate.
Just me and Hate together.
Who have you painted next to alongside? I mean, you've mentioned so many heavy hitters. Who were you most like? Because back then there was always a battle element. Even if you're all friends and it's not like a formal battle, but you're all battling. You know what I mean? That's what it was like back then. It was like, who burnt the wall the most?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That was Graf is about, isn't it?
That's what it was about.
Competition.
And so who were you most nervous painting next to? Like, where you were like, oh,
probably Casby.
Yeah, is it Cas? Yeah.
Because I knew Cas Moore and I painted with him a lot.
Okay.
And even before I knew him, I was just full, I had such an ego and so arrogant. Our first time I ever saw him, I was like, do you want a battle? And he went, yeah, all right. And then it never happened. He would have burnt me.
Yeah.
He was like confident.
He was like, yeah, all right. Yeah, all right.
Whenever you want.
Yeah. So Cas, I kind of got to know more and painted with him a lot. I knew, and he had the style and he was much better.
Yeah.
But Casby, I don't know, I think he there was something about him. We're good friends now still.
Mm.
But he had this really good Dondi New York style.
Mm-hmm.
And was neat and his piece is always
really,
really
funk.
Funky.
Yeah, like you can tell it was like
he didn't do too many trains, I don't think, but
But some of the walls he painted, just crazy dope, man. Even we pulled out, like, there was a dub. We were doing an episode about favorite dubs. And there was a Casby. There was one in Labrador Grove, but now there was one, like, in Leicester. He'd gone up Leicester somewhere and done a dub. And apparently he was there for years and looked sick, man. Oh, yeah, I showed you that picture of the Eleanor Wilkinson wall, the
so
blockbuster.
That, I can't remember doing that.
Because I used to go past that every day towards school.
Was it on
man.
The Piccadilly line? Or
it's Piccadilly and District line run through
Ealing
there.
Ealing side.
Near Ealing Common, Acton. It's kind of like in between all those things.
Because I remember doing something in that area around Ealing, Acton.
Yeah.
It might have been a bit further out, Hounslow or something. And we were doing track sides. And the train pulled up and stopped and flashed and was
really
while we nearly saw us.
Whoa.
So we had to run, and so that was quite common. Or sometimes we'd be doing the insides, we'd be bombing, battering them from Wembley Park to Finchley Road is really long stop, so you could get a lot done. But in the night, other trains would go past, and sometimes the drivers would see us.
They'd look into the other
side. They could see
us
battering the thing. So there could be sometimes police when we got there. But things like that used to happen.
And when you ended up getting like jail time for graft, the first person to do that, we think.
To our knowledge.
It was through photographs, right? You were getting photos developed.
That was the second time.
Oh, that was the second time.
So
the
first, yeah, how did it
the first
what,
time was
what
just
mission was it from?
In the yard in Stanmore.
Oh, you literally got raided, caught red-handed in the yard.
So me and Till wanted... Again, we didn't know if anyone had done the top to whole car top to bottom back then. So Till wanted to be the first. And we wanted to be the first.
Yes.
And it was a bubble train, though, so... Jubilee line, smaller trains, it was easier to do a whole car top to bottom.
But still, counts.
So in 1986, he knew how to get in. It was easy to get into Stanmore.
Yeah.
I'd literally just painted four lines to kind of get the proportions of each letter.
Rah.
And they got raided.
Rah, so they knew, they would have been watching.
So someone, I think someone who worked there called the police.
Okay.
So there was no coma on the train, though, or anything like that, just these lines to measure.
Yeah,
measuring
so I didn't
lines.
Get done for coma.
Okay.
So, but because I had a conditional discharge, so I'd been caught before doing a war with Ream in Kingsbury, and they gave me 2 years conditional discharge.
Right, no pens, no writing instruments, no...
Well, just if you get caught again, you get punished for that crime.
Okay.
So it was like let off, but within 2 years, if you commit a crime, you get punished for the first one. Yeah. So that's why they sent me down. Because
you got nicked during the conditional discharge.
Yeah, we got the Stanmore raid was during that.
And was it for criminal damage?
Yeah.
Was that the charge at the time? Yeah, okay.
And Till had been nicked probably a lot of times.
Right, okay.
So he went to prison loads of times.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
And what, this was like just a couple of months or something, yeah, that first time?
Detention centre was 2 months detention centre. So it was Hollisley Bay, which was near Ipswich.
Was it
open, almost like... boot camp type thing.
Oh shit,
it
okay.
was very, yeah, but like military.
Yeah.
So
okay,
as soon as we got out of the van, they had to say, oh, you call us sir. Yes, sir. No, sir. They called you by your surname and then give you a number.
Yeah.
And we had to either march everywhere or run everywhere. The PE was really, really kind of hardcore.
Yeah,
Every day we'd have to do
physical
circuit
education.
Training. Yeah.
Yeah. And you were 18, yeah? This
yeah,
is just as you've been 18.
I was 18.
And what about with the other prisoners? Was it quite rough? Like, did you have to, like, kind of posture, or is everyone just doing
it?
It
wasn't that bad. We were, the worst part was the journey there, just
okay,
what
yeah.
was, you were thinking yeah. about. But when we got there, it wasn't as bad because people, there weren't really heavy, serious. It was an open detention centre.
Okay.
So maybe drugs, nicking cars. Things like that, no real serious.
So there was no crime. Like snooker balls in a sock. Who's the daddy now? None of that, yeah? Oh, that's sweet.
No, I didn't see any fights even, but
okay.
there were fights, I didn't see any. Because you were out most of the day and the like physical education was so hard,
yeah,
and we
just
worked.
Fucking knackered.
And so people, it kind of took us out.
And your parents
out.
Were all right? I mean, obviously not all right, but.
They wanted me to see a psychiatrist.
Oh, it's bad.
I mean,
yeah.
they came to visit.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But I think my
and
dad
you,
might have kicked me out of the house or something. And I.
You Indian origin?
Well, my dad's Anglo, was Anglo-Indian, so
okay.
English and Indian.
Yeah.
My mum's Guyanese Indian.
Oh, wow, okay.
So Caribbean?
Yeah, yeah.
So the top of South America is.
Next to Venezuela.
Yeah, British Guyana.
Damn, Venezuela just got straight jacked by Trump and them lot, boy.
Well,
anyway.
I think they don't. It's something to do with the oil.
Yeah,
Guyana's
yeah.
got a lot of money now. The economy's doing really, really well.
Yeah.
It might be to do with oil.
Oh, they got bad
and I think
oil.
Venezuela wanted some of that as
oh,
well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So UK and America were trying to back Guyana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then this thing, I don't know.
Yeah, this is just straight jack move. They're just jacking oil.
But the people of Venezuela are happy, though.
Well, the happy Maduro is gone. Yeah. It's like, look, in Iraq, they were happy. Yeah, Saddam
people of Venezuela seem happy.
Yeah. Well, they're happy in the streets. They're happy
the dictator's gone.
But then what's next?
Well, that's the thing.
That's the thing, isn't it?
Trump said we're going to run it for a while.
Yeah.
That's his actual words.
Yeah, I know.
It's like they're not even hiding it anymore, you know? They're just being blatant, which in a way is a good thing, I guess, but it's still scary shit, man. But the second time was
But the first time was how long? Time
with 2 months detention centre.
2 months.
Yeah. And so when I came out...
Were you sharing with how many people?
Me and Tilt were sent down together, so we were together there, my co-defendant.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so we kind of hung out. And
in the same dorm?
I don't think we were in the same dorm, but we each had our own room.
Really?
So it was a cell, but your own room. So it was fine. I had my own.
Because you wouldn't get that in jail.
No. In Feltham, I did for 1 week, though. I was just on my own for one week. That was the second time. it just made you more stronger and fitter. So I came out, I did stop for about a month. Then I was so caught up in it all. Mm. It was my life. The people I was hanging out with, that was my social life.
Your whole
life.
Personality.
Yeah.
Even, yeah.
I hadn't really... It was still in me, you know, the drive to do the graph. So I came, and that's when I got worse. I did it worse after that.
Doubled down on them, yeah.
There's a piece that I call a revenge piece. I think I sent you it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was when I came out. Probably the first piece I did. I went on my own to Rigmansworth.
Really?
In the late afternoon, early evening, around 7, something like that, and managed to do Ricky on my own, and then came back, got the train back, and it was like revenge.
Yeah, yeah. I'm back, baby.
I love those ones, man, because you
solo
don't know...
missions were the best. I like doing yards on my own.
Yeah. Do you?
I don't know. It was you're not stressed with worrying about what other people are going to do. You're in complete control. You're the one always and
keeping dog, having a look and. I like the track sides on my own. Mm. I like doing track sides on my own.
Yeah, I think I did a few of them, yeah.
I wouldn't imagine doing a yard on my own because I don't know enough about the yards.
Well, maybe because I'd been a few times before. Mm. I knew the way in and out and everything.
I mean, I've done a fair few missions on my own, but I always preferred to be with people because they would egg me on, they'd motivate me. It would be motivation, you know what I mean? On my J's, I don't know. Still was fun, but I needed kind of extra people to motivate me, you know? I'm a lazy cunt.
I just feel like it's real. I remember Yanni saying, if you go out and do graph on your own, then you're a real writer.
It's dedication.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Lee in Wildstar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zorro.
Yo, man.
So then that was the first time.
Yeah.
Second time.
So the second time, there were a load of us Big Met writers, about 10 of us. I don't know. Again, a photographer was there somehow. I don't know how. That's the little yard.
Yeah, that's the layout.
But then, before or after the station is the other one? That's the little layout.
Uh-huh. Someone's house just there, right there.
That's the long con, just like, you know,
you're gonna
befriend
get the,
one of the house people who live in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's one there and then there's one over there kind of thing. Yeah.
We'll see on the other side.
This is Rickmansworth.
A bunch
of men.
Second time, we were all just out bombing. Someone was taking photos. They put the film in to the chemist. The chemist saw what was on it and called the police.
No,
so it all went
way.
From there. And then someone
came to collect the phone, and there was police there.
Said, oh, it was so and so. One thing led to another. And it was a huge court case of a graffiti gang, and it was all in the papers, and it ended up going to Crown Court.
Yeah.
Acton Crown Court. So I got 6 months youth custody for. They did me for coma, everything under the name coma.
Wow.
Hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of damage or something.
And they were quite good at recording everything, and they had
everything.
It all in the books. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's the other one. But I remember Hate got nicked by Chard. Chard was one of the first kind of graph squad, the head of the
Chard.
Graph squad. Yeah, Bill Chard. Detective Chard.
Yeah, white
he
guy.
Was, yeah, he was the one that everyone were like, everyone would just be careful of Chard.
Yeah.
So Haight had done Barking or Upminster or something like that and was waiting at the station. And some old tramp was hanging around.
Uh-huh.
And then the tramp was Chard, dressed undercover.
No!
yeah. And he grabbed Haight, and then two other guys came off.
Whoa!
And Haight said that he showed him...
Like a proper sting.
Yeah,
it was a proper sting. In the 80s. By Chard.
The graffiti, CID graffiti squad.
Wow.
They showed him what?
Haight said they showed him... Chard showed him. He said, hey, do you want to look at this? And all the photos of pieces that they'd gathered just to kind of groom him in a way. It was so maybe he'll give up some info if we're good to him.
Yeah, kind of thing.
So,
wow.
Yeah, they kept a record of, I think everything was, the photo was taken of everything.
Yeah, they did in the night. I was just wondering in the 80s, like early on, if they was as meticulous, but yeah, I guess so.
Maybe from about 87, after it started getting done a lot.
Because we had a chat with Bap. I don't know if you painted with Bap at all.
No.
No, but he was quite prolific in 1990. Like he had a short, sharp burst of just like mullering it, but then getting nicked at the end.
Right.
And he said that they were quite, they had like record of everything.
Yeah.
By then.
Yeah, boy.
There's crazy. Actually a report, there was a, used to be this news program on ITV called Reporting London. I think it's on YouTube, but there was one dedicated about British Transport Police and graffiti.
Okay,
and they showed them, I think it was Barker, one of the detectives was Barker, and it was him and his crew, BTP crew, hiding all at night in the trains waiting for the writers.
Oh shit.
And it's all on that Reporting London
documentary. I'll have to find that, man.
I'll try and have a look.
And you were talking about documentaries, you were in Bad Meaning Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's been brought up again. It's slightly before me and Theme's time, that documentary. Obviously I've seen it now. Slam mentioned it, said he loved that. Obviously Scam did the bad piece, right?
Yeah.
On the,
well, Scam got us involved because it was Westwood. Tim Westwood was something to do with it, he got everyone together.
Yeah.
So the rappers and then the writers. So it's mainly the music and DJing. Yeah.
Talk about grooming. Rap. Sorry.
Yeah.
You heard Westwood now. He's fun. Westwood, man. But yeah, but he was obviously instrumental in a lot of hip-hop
pioneer,
shit.
He was,
of course. I mean, it's undeniable.
Yeah. So he got Scam involved, and Scam got me, Haight, and Foam.
Okay, yeah.
So we weren't on camera, but Scam and Pride were talking about Graf.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about the trains.
The ribble, without applause, I'm lowering my level. The hard drama, where you never been, I'm in. You want styling? You know it's time again. D, the enemy, telling you to hear it.
Hey, yo, Chuck, man, I don't understand this, man. Yo, you got this money out, man, you're losing them.
Radio, suckers never play me.
Hip-hop is hip-hop. There's nobody.
Graffiti ain't a separate thing, man. It ain't two things you're into. It's like that scene. Thing that the brother owns.
So like everything that takes off in New York comes here about a year, 2 years later. But the only thing is with this, you might get other crazies from New York. Whatever it is, graffiti's here to stay.
So we actually went into the BBC studios, recorded it,
okay,
and they showed our photos.
Sick.
And had our voice over it.
And this is before you went to jail for the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
This is 1987.
Rah. So you are starting to see now, okay, the BBC and there's media now, and like because we were saying earlier how graffiti writers were hated and graffiti was hated, but these are the first steps to it being like,
well, it was
normalized, as it were.
Yeah, there was a series called Open Space on the BBC, BBC Two.
Yeah,
it was like Open Space. It was like arts and culture kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So this Bad Meaning Good was part of that Open Space. Just about UK hip hop, I guess.
Yeah.
So the graffiti bit was only a part of it.
Yeah.
But because it was on the BBC, it was all over UK. So we got massive fame from that. We got just instant fame.
Legendary status.
There was only four channels back then.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Insane, man. But back to your second
I'm not going to dwell on this whole prison thing, but the second time with the proper one, you were there 6 months or...
Well, I got a six-month sentence. Okay. So they sent us to Brixton. There were a load of us again.
Yeah, yeah.
So me, Tilt, Nice One, and I can't remember, maybe one or two others, got sent to Brixton Prison.
Damn.
The men's prison.
89.
So I'd given up by then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it took a year for the court case to come up.
Okay, yeah,
and I'd stopped. I'd given up. And I'd been taking pills and going raving, ecstasy and that. Left that world behind.
You were like, it's too much. It's getting on top. I'm into the music now.
Yeah.
But you must have been fuming because you've been waiting for a year.
Yeah.
And being a good boy
and stopped, yeah, and then get sent down for 6 months
to Brixton, so fucking Victorian Brixton.
Oh,
Brixton.
Man, yeah, fuck, I was gonna
only
say.
For a week though. But
did you have to shiv anyone?
It was, yeah, oh no, it was pretty dark and Victorian
and cold, not good.
And you'd hear screaming at night and like all that kind of stuff. And it was like an asylum.
Yeah.
And are you thinking I'm in here for a graph that I did a year ago?
Yep.
Yeah. Just
like just absolutely
furious. What a complete waste of time and how frustrating it is.
Do people ask you why are you in here, man? And you have to tell them, or you just lie?
No, they were just like, what for graffiti? But it wasn't. They didn't kind of treat you any worse.
Okay,
I think the guy I was in a cell with was in for drugs or something, and he was pretty harmless.
Yeah, yeah.
Tilt was there, Nice One was there, we were all in the same wing. But then we got sent to Feltham.
Young offenders?
Yeah.
Oh, no, because you were 18.
Yeah, 17 to 21 was young offenders, I think.
Yeah.
So we got sent to Feltham only for a week while they allocated us to go. And then I ended up going to Huntercombe, near Oxford, which was a youth custody, again, but semi-open. And again, I had my own cell. I had my own thing.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
They knew you were the king of the line.
Everyone did. Everyone had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I know as well, when you, after you came out, you'd moved on from Graf, you'd now focus more into the music scene. And then got into DJing and like...
That was as soon as I got out. I literally kind of got a job.
Yeah.
Doing some foot messenger, just walking around, delivering stuff, listening to music all day.
Yeah.
And going out, raving. So I just kind of gravitated towards the music, buying music and
you've got a big record collection at home, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's one of your prized records that you own?
Well, one of my favourite DJs and a massive influence was Andrew Weatherall. And
rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. So I was lucky enough to DJ with him loads, worked him, did our album in his studio, hung out.
Wow.
So he was selling loads and loads of records. So I bought them off him for the shop that I worked in. And in there was a copy of Acid Tracks. So it was one of the first Acid House records, original Acid House.
Tracks, T-R-A-X.
T-R-A-X.
Yeah, yeah.
Acid Tracks by DJ Pierre Future.
All right, I'll look that up.
It's on the Tracks label.
Yeah.
And it was Andrew Weatherall's own copy, and he was one of the first Acid House DJs.
Yes.
And he had his writing on it, the BPMs and all that stuff.
No way.
So I kept that. I was like, this is a prized possession Acid House.
Deep.
Like object. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, that makes sense, man. You know, I got to meet him, I was a driver for Houghton Festival.
Right, yeah.
And so I was driving artists too from the airport and to their hotel and shit. I was just driving around. And I picked him up and I was playing like breaks and beats in the car.
Yeah.
I just had a couple of CDs of like just breaks. And he was really getting down to it was like a Mr. Shiver breakbeat tape,
Wow.
I think the Lucky Dip breaks or whatever. And so we were chatting about that, and I told him about my radio show because I was doing a radio show called Missing Links Show at the time. And then so he recorded a drop for me. He was like, yo.
Greetings, my name's Andrew Weatherall, and I very rarely do product endorsements. But sometimes one comes along that's so magnificent, I just have to. You're listening to the Missing Links Show on K2K Radio with the Amber MC.
That's nice.
Yeah, so he was such a sweet guy, man. Legendary DJ for people who don't know, and he had a record label, right? That he was releasing
stuff. Yeah, loads
stuff
of labels.
With.
He was like very influential.
Exactly, and he passed away too soon, just a couple of years ago now. A few
years
ago.
I think it's 2025. No, 2020. Just around COVID time, yeah.
Yeah, so R.I.P. Andrew Weatherall. No, that's dope.
So to own that is like, yeah. I mean, I've got other records that are worth loads of money and stuff, but that's probably got meaning, the meaning behind it.
Deep.
The handwriting of the BPM and shit on it.
On it, and even like the fingerprints and stuff, I'm like, don't clean it, this is an artifact.
And that's another beautiful thing about physical music, man. Yeah. I don't want to sound too much like an old man, but like these physical, like I've got records been given to me by friends that I hold in high regard because of whatever reasons, and the record might be worth 50p, physical record by me, but for me it's worth hundreds of quid just because of who gave it to me and what's on it and what it means to me and stuff, you know?
I've got a vinyl player now.
Oh, have you got one? Yeah. I'm gonna hook you up some records.
I've got Electric Ladyland and Miles Davis.
Amazing. Well, that's a good start.
Two albums that my uncle said you gotta have on a vinyl player.
But listen, Coma, legend.
Anything else?
I want to give you some love, man. Thank you so much again, man.
No, thanks for having me. I'm a regular watch of the YouTube.
Because we saw you at the Lady Pink show, and I remember you were saying, yo, I love what you guys are doing. And I was like, man, I can't believe Coma knows. But we can't leave without doing a little bit of graph critique. You know what I mean? Like you were saying, man, back in the day, people were harsh. They would tell you if you were whack, not to discourage you or tell you to stop painting, but like they'd be like, get better, like, you know, to encourage the style element.
I think the competition is good.
Yeah.
Kind of drives you.
Exactly. So people who listen to the pod, they send in pictures of their graffiti. Actually, you know what happened the other day? Someone sent a picture of his mate's graph saying it was his graph, and then we gunned it, and then his mate contacted us going, oh, I never sent that in. So don't be a prick and send other people's shit in. Send in your stuff. Don't be a fanani flap, all right? People trying to get us to gun their mates and shit.
Do people send stuff in to be critiqued?
To be critiqued, yeah. And they say the harsher the better.
Really?
They want us to be.
Yeah, but I wasn't the best at style.
You're a humble man, my friend. Yeah, let's see. But like I said, this is all subjective at the end of the day. All right, this is a fine piece. F-I-N-E. Nice, colorful, red outline, blue kind of fade around the outside. Pink greens and like F-I-N-E. A dark purple stars and bubbles and white highlights. I'll just go first. It's competently done, nicely, confident lines. You know, it's quite big, fat and jubbly. In the middle of the N is super, super, super thin. But to be honest, it's not jarring to me. It works. Down rock shadow. I mean, for a simple thing, I think it's cool. Just the highlights. I think it's in a weird place, the highlights, just for my liking. But everything else is, you know, competently done. What can I say? Hand style is meh. But I'm not mad at it, but I'm whatever. What's your first thoughts when you see that?
I like the hand style more than the piece.
All right, cool. I don't know why that hand style is winding me up a bit.
I don't mind it. Okay. I think the piece is just a bit out of proportion.
Mm.
And the colours are just obvious.
Yeah.
A bit obvious too obvious.
Colours. Pinks and blues.
But it
and
depends
shit.
How long he's been writing. Or
well, that's we don't know. We don't know.
For early attempt, it's fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, but, it's fine.
But, yeah, maybe not very original.
Yeah, yeah. No.
And I think the colours could be better. Or even just one colour. Keep it as simple as possible. The highlights, again, they're in the wrong places.
Weird places.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I see what you mean about the colour. He's throwing everything at it. Like, if he was a bit more meticulous and direct.
And we've talked about this before, like, typical blues and greens.
And pinks.
And pinks.
But it all depends how long. If it's just someone starting up, then it's a good effort.
It's fine, yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if this guy's just
slightly out of proportion.
I see what you mean about the hand style.
Who, me or
I like
or
the
Cole?
F and the
prefer
E.
It to the piece. Like yeah. And the highlights aren't, you know.
Yeah, they're all over the shop, man.
What's your phone doing? It's putting extra highlights around it.
No, it's doing some weird thing. I don't know what that is. All right, big up, fine. Thank you for sending that in, man.
That's
maybe
a reach
send.
There, boy.
Yeah,
oh, shit.
Gentlemen, my colleague. I just took off, didn't open the doors. Oxygen, and happy to go home. We should be on the move shortly. This train should be departing in a couple of minutes.
All right, this guy, his style, you know what I mean? I don't know about this A at the end of the style.
No, I know. I would happily say that's just a bit botched. I don't know what the hell I was doing. I don't know why. I was trying to copy, you know, Ernie in Subway Art. There's a bit when he does this kind of shit. And
the
I was definitely influenced by Ernie in Subway Art.
Yeah.
And that was the early days.
I knew it was. That's why I pulled it out. I know, I'm only joking.
The attempt at filling is okay. It's a bit too pastely, nice. A bit too pastel colours. The style of the letters are just all over the shop, but a bit more, like a 5 out of 10, 4 or 5 out of 10 or something.
I love the C, the O, and the M just starts getting a bit too thin.
We've just got a bit excited.
A, yeah, the A. Got,
right. I don't know what the hell that
the
is.
The A, you got carried away, man.
That C and the O and the M, I guess, are all right. Yeah.
What is that on the Big Met?
That was part of the all day at Rickmansworth, all day at the Big Met.
Ah, yeah, and I've got the picture of all of you lot doing it as well.
That was,
hold on.
That was the Kings of the Met thing deal. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's, the Kings of the Met. Yeah, the daytime with the top to bottom. Rio. Did you ever end up doing the top to bottom? You said you went to attempt it and that's when you got nigged. But, of course, because you were trying to do the first one.
So we didn't do it then.
Yeah.
But we went back after we got let out.
Oh, okay.
And did it at, I think it was Stanmore. We went back to Stanmore.
Oh, shit.
Like idiots.
Yeah.
It was either Stanmore or I think we might have gone to Edgware.
Edgware.
So it was
okay.
Northern Line. And we did. I've got the photo. Did I send you it?
Maybe, yeah. But you definitely will, though.
You can't really make it out because. No, I didn't send it because I've got it on me. I'll show you. But. You know those Polaroid type things? You take a photo and it develops instantly.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
So it was one of them.
Oh, okay.
So we took the photo, but it was a Blockbuster in black. So it's black filling, coma, Blockbuster on a bubble and tilted the other side. So we ended up doing it, but it was just really crap.
And you couldn't see it on the photo because it's black.
I'll show you the photo.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. But it was so bad.
And I love this photo.
This one. That's second New Cross mission.
The second New Cross.
So with Goldie. So Goldie's on the other train. Rich and Rage and Foam are on the other train.
Yeah.
So that's cast. Casby, cast and me, we were all doing
that. That photo is just so dope. The lighting, the sky, the trees just poking over the train. Casby chilling.
That picture just sums up what we're doing this.
Do you like that train?
Oh,
yeah. sorry, I just dropped my phone. Here it is there. Look at it. Well, the train, well, there's some blues there with some yellow bits on it.
Do you like the graffiti?
It's cool, no? No, this is a picture from a long time ago. This is from like 40 years ago or so.
When's that? 1987.
You're going to be 4 years old? That's really cool, man. I hope you get lots of good presents and balloons and a birthday cake. Yeah? All right. Nice. Okay, brother. Yeah, well, that's all we can ask for. Easy.
So that was, New Cross.
Yeah, that's just an epic photo, man. I'd have that, like, if talking like Theme does, I'd have that framed up on my wall. I'd make wallpaper out of it, wallpaper my house with it. I'm kidding. Sorry, no, I'm just doing. Do you have any pictures of your artwork up in your wall, like your graph and stuff? Not really.
I've always been, you know, the bottleneck one, the blue.
The classic one.
I want to, because I've got that, the outline, the piece, and I've got a photo of them buffing it as well.
Oh, shit.
Of like them, it was
that
really.
That would be a three
stages of grief.
Three stages of grief.
Yeah.
So what, you've got the outline, the drawing.
The outline. The draw, then the piece, then the photo of the buff. Then
do you still have it on film though? The photo of the piece, like, can you get it like really high quality?
I think I've got the film. Okay, somewhere. But I scanned in the actual.
Okay.
With high res.
Sick.
I'd like, maybe I'll do that. people are saying you should sell them. Like,
I mean, yo, man. That's one of the classic pieces from that era, man.
Yeah.
That bottleneck one, yeah, for sure, yeah. Man. I mean, we played the graph letter game here sometimes where I pick a letter. And I remember we did that C, we were doing the letter C, and Mean was with us, and I showed him that C of, from your coma bottleneck thing. And he was like, bruv, I could tell you that one even if it was in Braille. Because I've seen that picture so many times. Because even if I was blind,
I think
because
it was on Bad Meaning Good as well. Yeah,
exactly. I'm
it
sure.
Got a lot of, and it was, yeah, a lot of people say because it wasn't traditional graph and it was a bit different. It's like, oh, okay. Even, exactly. I think people like Tempfer and stuff were like, oh, yeah, you did different stuff.
All right, lads, before we call it a day there, last bit of graph critique. Yeah, this is sent in by someone who writes, due and the number two. It's like blue fades going up, well, kind of fades, not really. This guy doesn't really know how to fade. Little doodad's coming out, he's doing way too much, the highlights have gone overboard, he's got about 50 million shines going through it, and all every single one of them looks shit. sorry, I'm going in on you, due. Big up for sending it in. I don't know what these white fucking squiggly wiggly bits are, which like just have
too
no
much,
sense whatsoever. The only yellow is just for a whack tag on the right hand side. Oh no, he's bigged up his crew on the left. It's just not really confident with the lines, although I've seen worse than this. The shapes of the letters are all over the shop. The two is the only halfway decent letter, really. I mean, the U is kind of simple. The red round the outside is nice, pings it.
The worst bit I've seen in my life is the these little squiggly wogglies.
Yeah, it's just like a
I mean, it's kind of like a decent-ish piece, but then he's put those bits in which are like kids. You know,
they make no sense. Like a spring, little springs in the extremities of the letters. But you like that E?
No.
Yeah.
I don't like any of this.
Oh, okay.
I don't like the D, the way it comes out.
Yeah, the D is horrible.
The U, the E, the two. The two...
The two is simple. The two I can live with.
But I just don't get why you would do that.
The springs? The spring scheme? I don't know about that, man.
So this
look
is...
Look at the white...
U2.
Like...
Yeah.
So I like... The actual letters are good. I like...
You like the letters? Okay.
The D... It just... Slightly, yeah, I don't mind them.
There's too much.
The D's
off.
A bit weird.
Yeah, there's too much hanging off that end.
The U and the E are, and the two are all right.
Yeah, okay. The,
just kind of classic blue. The fill-in's all right. It's just.
He's trying to fade though. There's not much of a fade.
There's no
going
fade.
On.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's
not really
to fade.
Fading.
Well, he should be trying to fade.
But there's, as you said, there's too many highlights, too many sparkles.
Yeah.
And these white squiggly things. What? I don't understand.
The red's done quite well.
The red border looks all right. Is it a white outline? Yeah, kind of white outline.
And there's black outline with a white highlight and a white one time around the outside. See?
Yeah.
Oh, no, but you're right. Maybe there is a bit of a white outline.
On some of it, there's a white outline, and then down the bottom, it's not.
No, it's because he's shit at highlighting. He's covered the black with the white in places where he shouldn't have. Maybe.
Is the orange dots him as well?
Just extra paint or something. I prefer this to the last one.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Again, the D that... doesn't need to have that, and there's just too much with the white, too much white stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that was supposed to be faded or not, because it isn't really.
Yeah.
It's not, is it?
The thing is, I would prefer this to the one before, but I kind of rate the one before purely because he did keep it more simple. You know, there's a lack of style or whatever, and it was overly simple, but I prefer that to this, like these bits hanging off the left side of the D, and then like Theme was pointing out, those springy schemes and then all this extra shit.
If they just pulled the E further in so it went up here, there's the line there, and then he's just stopped it there, could have brought it in up.
And look at the red border going around the outside. If it was consistent, or if there was some method to it, okay, you can have parts that are thicker and thinner than others, but if it's meant to be that, he's obviously, I don't know what he's doing, he's just like
trying his best, isn't it, I guess.
Yeah.
Due to, big up. Thank you for sending that in, brother. You are all now been jumped into AHC, yeah? Arms House crew. Anything else we want to add? Is there anyone you want to shout out? Any big ups you want to give?
Big ups. I'm trying to think. I've kind of mentioned all the writers.
Well, do you want to do a bit of an old school rap now? Take it back to the 80s. Hey, yo, we're here to see in the place to be.
I guess the C's who's still writing now.
Salute.
He's a friend. Hate. Casby, I still see. Scam. The other writers from the Met line, I don't really see. I don't hang out with anyone that I used to write on a big Met with. Tilt, Cast, I don't know what happened to him. Nice. Oh, okay. One, all those guys.
Okay.
Everyone says about what happened to Cast.
Isn't it?
Everyone's got their own.
I mean,
still,
what happened? Yeah,
there's still a few people. There's a few people who are still in contact with him. I remember chatting to Score. He said he still chatted to him. Not heavily, but he said he knows he's about.
Look at this.
Bruh, this is ill, man. Zonk. We were saying how Force has been killing it up and down this line. We've been seeing a bunch of heads up and down here.
Yeah.
What else was I going to add? Yo, I'm going to get Coma to write his name on a underground map. I brought a pen and a map, so if you can write your name on that. Yeah. And I'll give it away to someone in the comments below.
I brought
a map. Oh, perfect. So leave a comment below and you could win the Coma map. I'll show you it here. What else, man? Join the Patreon.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
All that good stuff, people, man. Arms House Crew 2026. Coma, once again, thank you, brother.
Oh,
man.
Thank you.
You are done.
Respect.
We'll see you soon. And we're gonna tag your Bandcamp below, so go support Richard Sen and his music. Anything else you want to plug music wise? You got something coming up or things you want people to check out?
Just check out Bandcamp because that's where you can buy.
Is it under the name Richard Sen?
Yeah, Richard
Sen. Okay, boom. Support, Bandcamp. Man. Come on. People.
Or SoundCloud if you want to listen to the mixes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do a radio show every Friday.
There you go.
It's Do You World. So DOYOU.world.
Okay.
Every Friday from 12 till 2.
And you're playing all types of music?
Yeah, I'll play a bit of everything. Well, last hour is usually a bit more dance floor, electronic, but I'll try and kind of play breaks.
What time was that? 12 till 2?
12 midday till 2 p.m.
I'll put the link below, people. Go check
that
out.
That's going really well.
Amazing. And maybe we'll do a part two down the line, man. All right?
Yeah, defo.
With Casby. We'll bring Casby out. Hey.
Yeah.
Peace, people. Cheers. Salute.
Pilot's done a lot of graft down here.
I mean, the dude doesn't sleep, man.
Who's that?
Pilot.
Oh.
Peace, people. Ah, what song should we go out to? What song? Like, usually I end on a song.
What song can you go out to?
What was like a big tune you guys used to listen to? Oh, you were saying Run DMC, Public Enemy. Which Public Enemy track? Maybe do a deeper cut than like the big hits. What's like a deeper Public Enemy cut? You can tell me afterwards if you want.
What was the one? Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos. Do you know that?
Yeah.
That's.
We can do that one.
We can do anything you want, son.
I'll have to look. Or
I rate the scratchy guy. He's done a proper dub with a fill and everything in the scratchy.
The filling.
Yeah. What does it
scratchy
say?
Scratchy filling.
And he's got like character there, Bunny a zoo. SLA.
I really like that hot youism SB reach. Scratched.
Is that
in.
Slacker? Slayer.
Yeah,
okay,
Slayer
yeah.
Over
there. Yeah. Alright, I will think of a song and play it. Peace.
Face for your face, London. Everybody in the house, make some noise. I want everybody in the house to say ho. Yo, Chuck, kick it to him, man.
A ballad behind bars, or you could say real rock from the rock. An unusual musical happening in a most unusual place. The state prison
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn. I said never. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me and myself, because they never did. I wasn't with it, but just
just that very minute it occurred to me the suckers had authority. Cold sweating as I dwell in my cell. How long has it been? They got me sitting in a state pen. I gotta get out, but that thought was thought before. I contemplated a plan on the cell floor. I'm not a fugitive on the run. Brother, brother like me begun to be another one. Public enemy serving time. They drew the line, y'all. They criticized me for some crime. Nevertheless, they could not understand that I'm a black man and I can never be a veteran. On the strength of situations unreal, I got a raw deal. So I'm looking for the steal.
Hey yo, Chuck, you serious? You in the justice, man?
Word him up. I'm looking for that steal.
Yo, man, we gonna break you out of there, man. We ain't gonna like that, man.
Don't you know they got me right?
It's Jazzy! 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 Jazzy.